again, and welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. Foreplay is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Each episode, we cover an aspect of sex that impacts your sex life and something that you can relate to. So if you find our discussions helpful, please give us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. We would love it if you would tell a friend about us. You can find us also on the web at foreplayrst.com. And if you have a comment or a topic that you'd like us to talk about, we'd love to hear from you. Please send them to us at info@foreplayrst.com. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic. So we are going to talk today, Adam, about the seven things not to say when you're talking about sex.
Yeah, and we should probably emphasize the not part of that, right?
Yeah. These are things that we actually hear in the room, in the therapy room, things that people report to us their partner has said. Yeah. That are killers.
Yeah, and I think we're always wanting people to talk about their sex lives, right?
Right.
Because most people don't. We want you to talk. So it's not that we don't want you to talk, but there are some things that you definitely should not say.
Yeah, we want you to talk vulnerably about what you need, about what you like. Mm-hmm. We want you to say it positively. Never these seven sayings.
Well, before we get into them, say, like, why do you think some of these things come out of people's mouths? It's defensiveness, right?
Well, and I also think that people have a misconstrued conception that honesty is the best policy in relationship. You know, now I'm married, I want to be really honest with you. And I would say honesty is overrated. You know?
You're a therapist, Lori. You're supposed to want people to be honest. You want them to lie?
I want them to be tactful.
Okay.
I mean, you're going to be married to this person forever, for crying out loud. It's like, please be tactful.
Please be tactful. Okay.
Yeah. Tact is what works.
Yeah.
Especially when you're talking about sex.
Yeah. So I knew someone one time that was talking to his wife.
Okay.
And he was trying to be honest.
Oh, no.
He was trying to be honest. And he said, just so you know, I'm not going to be attracted to you when you weigh 300 pounds.
Oh.
I mean,
I hear it even worse, right?
Right.
I'm not attracted to you anymore since you've gotten fat.
Since you've gotten fat,
right.
Yeah.
And
they
I
use
mean,
that
weight,
dreaded F word.
Right. I mean, weight is so important to people, to our culture. I mean, and sometimes they're not even fat when I hear that, right?
Yeah.
You know, somebody has an incredible standard. But even saying to somebody, I'm not going to be attracted to you if you get fat, or you are fat, and so I'm not as attracted, you might as well just like, okay, is that person really going to sleep with you?
Well, it just kills libido, doesn't it?
Yeah, man, or don't ever get fat.
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
a prescription against that.
Right, I knew one guy, he used to say that all the time, don't ever get fat. You know, and I'm thinking, okay, she's about to have children. Mm. You know, you actually do gain weight when you have children. I mean, how is she going to feel about her body when even natural states create more weight?
Yeah. We tie attraction so much to weight and to size.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think some of the fear coming from that is that I'm not going to be attracted to you anymore.
Yeah,
when
what
this
am
happens,
I going to do?
And attraction is solely based on weight. And that just sets people up, doesn't it? It sets people up for failure.
It does. I mean, because suddenly there's this anxiety about something that has kind of nothing to do with sex. It has to do with your body regulation. But now we have an additional anxiety.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of women I see who do gain weight, sometimes they're not either personally allowing themselves sexual pleasure, sensory sexual pleasure, and so they take it with food, and then it's a never-ending cycle, right? Because they're gaining weight, which then they feel more self-conscious, and they don't want to be sexual, so they don't get that pleasure, and then they don't want to have sex. I mean, that can be a crazy maker. And then if their partner is critical, forget about it.
Yeah, then it's all over.
It is all over.
So what's a better way, do you think, to talk about that concern, a more tactful way as you're talking to
them? Yeah. So this is totally sexist. And guys, if you're out there, just tell me, you know, Lori, you are full of beans. You're too sexist. But I do see that when it's gender reversed and the woman feels like he's gained weight and she's not as attracted to him, if she says it really kindly, like, sweetheart, you know, when we were in college, you were so fit and, you know, your belly was so flat and I just thought you were hot as can be.
Yeah.
That was not exactly what went through my mind saying that, but, you know, hot.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I would love it if you'd get in that kind of shape again. I really think I'd be turned on even more.
Yeah.
I mean, something really positive and encouraging.
Yeah. Well, and I think that to honoring your partner's commitment to just being healthy in general.
Yeah.
Right? Because weight is so hard to manage.
Right.
Especially as you get older. Like, I mean, I think that the idea that you're going to have the same belly and look that you did when you were in college is a high expectation, but maybe also talking about health in general or inviting your partner to work out with you.
Yeah, that
or
would be good.
To go for walks.
But I see men when they hear that, often for men it translates, you mean if I get in shape?
We're going to have sex.
We're going to have more sex.
Yeah.
That'd be, okay, I will do that.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of men really respond to that. And I would say, guys, this is just one little thing. Belly weight translates to lost erections in 10 years or less. Mm. So if you have a belly, seriously, that means that you are starting with heart disease. The capillaries in your penis are going to clog up and you're going to lose your erections in 10 years or less.
Wow.
So that's a little motivation for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what about when it's the woman who's heavy? Or, I mean, because sometimes men say to me, I mean, I'm just a visual guy and, you know, she's not that hourglass anymore and that's what turns me on and I don't know where to go with it.
Yeah, I think that's more what I was talking about before, too, was in inviting your partner to go with you to work out, being active with them rather than just sitting around or demanding that they go do something, especially if you're not doing it yourself. But I also think that finding qualities that are attractive, that are honestly, that are timeless, that aren't going to change, if you're not nurturing that side of it as well and helping her to feel attractive, doing things that make her feel attractive, then she's not, and it's more likely that it's going to go the other way. I mean, would you agree with that? I'm speaking from a man's point of view.
I think that's lovely to invite your partner into exercise with you. I think it's great to find things that are attractive about her. I just think weight is so toxic for women in our culture, and it's such a killer. But I do understand often for men, they're very visually oriented. And I know if you're listening and you're a woman out there, I get it. You know, women can be visually oriented too.
Sure.
But I think the vast majority of men are visually oriented. So, and weight is just such a big deal. I had one girlfriend's husband say to her, you know, I really hope that you stay in shape or something. And it was really kind. And it wasn't the same sort of pressure. I don't know how he said it that it was distinguishing, but it was different. This is a tough one. We're going to get through seven of these. We're almost out of time here.
I don't know.
I mean, we should have done a whole one on weight, which, okay,
we'll come back to weight. We'll do more on weight.
But be careful.
Yeah.
Be careful out there.
Okay. So another thing that we've heard often enough, which is just a killer, is you're not big enough. I can't feel you.
Oh, I know.
Right?
I know. And I have had women say that in the room with their male partner there saying, he's just not big enough. I'm like, oh my gosh, how does he keep sitting there?
Yeah,
how did he not fall through the floor? You know, she said it, A, to him, which I think is so incredibly toxic. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, she said it in front of another person, another woman. I mean, I don't care what, don't say that.
Yeah, just saying that out loud, even with one other person in the room,
she might as well chop it off.
Yeah, she might as well have just done that. She might as well have just, like, said it on national television, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's that kind of public shaming.
Right, men are so wedded to their penis, right?
Yep.
That little guy is their buddy.
That's true. Yeah.
You know?
He's the little general.
Yeah. Don't ever say that.
I think anything.
And there's ways to fix it if you don't feel it, right?
I mean, there's other ways.
There's condoms that are special that you can wear. You can add a finger in. A lot of women don't climax that way anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, but I mean, that's just the worst insult, I think.
Anything about size, I think, should just be avoided.
Absolutely.
Altogether. Unless it's positive the other way.
Right.
You're saying it's...
awesome, man.
Yeah, that's right. So something else you've heard and I've heard as well, do you want breast implants?
I know it.
I can't even imagine that this is something that somebody would say to somebody else, but It is. It happens.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, basically, he's saying, I'm not content with your breasts, right? Yeah. Your size.
Yeah. But what's the difference, though, then? Because I think it's different for women. It's not the same as her saying,
well, if she
she's
said,
too small.
Do you want a penis implant? Right?
That's what I mean. Like, I mean, what's that like from a woman's perspective when.
I mean, I just think that is insulting.
Yeah.
You know, that it's, he's directly saying he's not happy with the shape or size of her breasts.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be one thing, right, if she's like, you know, moaning it and saying, yeah, oh, I don't like my size, or I don't like the way I look after childbearing, or, and he's like, do you want breast implants? Okay, that makes more sense. That's contextual. That's mm-hmm. not a criticism.
Okay.
But just offering that up because maybe he likes bigger breasted women, it's like, ooh.
Yeah, so it's got to come from the woman, right?
It's got to come from the woman. If you're talking about breast implants, she better have said something first.
Yeah, yeah. Without you even making hints, right?
Exactly.
Like, no, not even hints in that direction.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's so complicated, right, though. How do we talk about our, you know, particular desires and fantasies and things without hurting our, our buddy?
Yeah. I mean, I think
not
you're right,
buddy,
though. I mean, I think there's ways to talk about the need that is there without insulting mm-hmm. our partners.
I think so, too.
Right?
Kindness. Tact.
Yes.
That's what's important.
Go see your neighborhood sex therapist.
That's right.
To have the conversation.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we have four more. You want to come and explore those after the break?
Let's do that after the break. This is 4Play Radio Sex Therapy with sex therapist Lori Watson and couples therapist Dr. Adam Matthews. We'll be right back.
Wanting sex again. How to rediscover desire and heal a sexless marriage by certified sex therapist Lori Watson.
Each chapter is designed to fix one of the problems that cause low libido from early marriage through the childbearing years, even all the way through menopause. I've also had men read it and tell me that for them it was the most hopeful thing they read about resolving sexual problems.
Look for Wanting Sex Again on Amazon.com. You can also talk to Lori Watson for therapy in person or via Skype.
I offer couples counseling and sex therapy, and I think about both aspects of the relationship, emotional intimacy and sexual technique, and that combination together helps marriages be happy.
Weekend couples intensives are also offered. Improve your sex and improve your relationship with Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Find out more at awakenloveandsex.com. Awaken what's possible.
It is one of my great joys in life to be able to really help individuals and couples find strength in their relationships and really find hope again.
Licensed marriage and family therapist, Dr. Adam Matthews from Matthews Counseling.
I work with a wide variety of issues, including depression and anxiety, marital issues, issues with adolescence. I believe that therapy should be designed around you, that it should be personalized to who you are and to your unique situation.
Therapy is available in office, online, and by phone.
I want therapy to be comfortable for everyone. At our office, you'll find that we sit around a fireplace in deep, comfortable chairs, look at the problem differently, and offer practical solutions for you to take home and utilize outside of the therapy room.
Schedule today and rediscover hope.
You can find me on the web at matthewscounseling.net. Matthews with one T. You can contact us through email or phone and find a lot of resources on our website, matthewscounseling.net.
Okay, we are back with more 4Play Radio Sex Therapy, and we are talking about seven things not to say when you're talking about sex, right?
Yep.
Things that should never come out of your mouth.
Yeah, ever.
You're fat.
Yeah.
You're too small. Do you want breast implants? What? You're not big enough?
Yeah.
Okay, now what have we got?
Well, I think one of them is, why isn't your erection working right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just anything that has to do with why is it not working right, and that kind of contemptuous tone and way of, we talk about it all the time. I mean, there are issues that come up with erection in almost any sexual relationship, and commenting on it in that way just is, it just makes men not want to talk about it.
Killer.
Right? I mean, it just, we're just going to avoid it altogether, and you're never, we're never going to talk about it ever again.
Right. That's right.
Right.
It was my very first session ever as a clinician, and I was, you know, a fairly young woman, and I remember this woman saying, and this was way before I was a sex therapist, I was just a beginning therapist, and she said something like, you know, we've been fooling around for like an hour and then he loses his erection. I'm just like, is he not attracted to me? First of all, I was thinking, you've been fooling around for an hour. That's pretty darn good.
And he kept it for an hour. That's
and
impressive.
He kept it for an hour and now you're complaining about it. And of course it kills it for him, right?
Yeah,
and I
absolutely.
Was like, I mean, I didn't know anything about sex therapy at that point, but I knew enough as a person that that was really stupid.
Yeah, because every single time now that they try to initiate sex, he is going to be thinking about it,
which
right?
kills and that, erections.
Which kills erections. I mean, when you think about getting an erection, it is going, you're least likely to have one, right? And so that just, it just, again, it's self-defeating over
right.
and over again, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't talk about that.
Don't talk about, you know, the loss or what's happening. Just say, you know, baby, you're sexy. Maybe it's not your night. It's my night.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. Encouragement.
Encouragement.
Yeah. Another one that we hear often, especially when we get into kind of the details of what's happening with them sexually, I don't like the way you taste.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a hard one, right?
Yeah, and I've heard that twice in my practice from men in front of their wives. You know, mm-hmm. I just don't like the way she tastes. And I got to say, oral sex is the route for a lot of women to experience orgasm.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like if he doesn't like the way she tastes, first of all, how is she ever going to relax again?
Oh, yeah.
You know.
So oral sex is almost off the table at that point.
I would
you
think
say?
For a lot of women, I mean, they're already self-conscious. I mean, even women who think they taste good and whose partners say they taste good barely can let him do oral sex. And so it's like, okay, now he said this. You know, how is she going to ever get over that?
Yeah.
But I would say there are certain foods that help. Pineapple, papaya, guacamole, avocado.
Nice.
Those supposedly change the way you taste. Coffee and cigarettes often make you not taste well. Both genders.
Yeah.
Both genders, everybody.
Yeah, so this can apply both ways.
Right.
And that
right.
So, yeah, I mean, oral sex is a component. We've talked about it often, right? Mm-hmm. That's important in healthy sexual relationships. And so if you want it to happen, it's not something you need to bring up.
Take her out to Mexican.
That's
food.
Mexican. That's to say. So you know, start cutting up that pineapple.
Lots of guacamole, but I just if you're willing to do it, and I mean, it's one thing, right? If there's a hygiene issue, certainly get in the shower with her and all that. But really, don't ever say that.
Don't ever say that. All right, another one we hear a lot: all he or all she wants is sex.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these blanket statements that people make, I mean, it's basically negating the complexity of your partner. When you say all you want is sex, I mean, I know a lot of people, especially women who say this, but also, you know, men who say it to their partners, because mm-hmm. I would say 20% of my practice is women who want sex more than their male partners.
Hmm.
You know, so it goes both ways.
Absolutely.
But really, you're denying complexity when you say that, right? You're saying you just want to get off. I'm sorry to say that crudely, but
you just want
to get off. And that's not what people want often. They want connection. They want eroticism. They want passion. They want responsiveness. They want it to be sexy. It's not, and they want something from their partner most of the time. They don't just want their own selfish orgasm.
Yeah.
And that's what that implies. You're selfish.
That's
right. All you want is sex.
Well, then it reduces people to a stereotype, right?
It does.
Particularly when it comes from men toward, I mean, from women toward their men, right? That's mm-hmm. that's usually where I hear that. And I think it reduces the stereotype, but then it also denies the role that sex plays in the relationship.
It does.
Right?
Like, it's a bad thing to want sex.
Right. And so,
I hope you want sex.
Well, yeah. And sex being a primary way that men connect with their partners, it's saying, well, he doesn't want to connect with me.
Yes.
That's what, and I think
it makes him feel ashamed
of
something that is a really positive, loving, important, and essential aspect of the relationship, right?
Yeah, and that is that's a deep need there.
Yes.
And so I think that kind of any blanket statement, but that one in particular is just going to just promote disconnection in the relationship.
It does. It does.
All right, last one, Lori. You're just so frigid.
And I think this is the reverse, right? Yep. When the man says to the woman, because frigid is really a female adjective, you know, you don't want sex, you're just frigid. As if she's a human being who doesn't want it. And maybe for her, it's very complex. Again, you know, she doesn't want it because she's angry at him. She's resentful over lots of different things. Maybe she doesn't want it because he's not very good and bad, or he's not been sensitive to her needs. Or I mean, any number of reasons.
Yeah, there's tons.
So it's a blaming statement.
Yeah, like, both of those last two are, right? They're blaming.
Both of them are. It's your fault.
Yeah. If you would just change this one thing about you, our relationship would be okay.
Right.
Right.
Nothing's that easy.
Mm-mm. Right. So when we think about those statements, those seven things, I mean, I think people would say, okay, well, if there's some truth to those statements,
sure,
how do we go about talking about it? What are the kind of things that we want? You mentioned it briefly at the top of the show, but what are the things that we want to say in sex? How do we want to talk about sex? What's some general guiding principles when we're talking about that?
Okay, so first know that talking about sex is vulnerable, and you want to pick a time and a place, because just bringing it up out of the blue is often going to be interruptive, going to be like a surprise attack on your partner.
Yeah.
So I say do it over coffee outside. You know, go to some coffee shop that's noisy or something where you're not going to be interrupted and nobody can hear you.
Right.
But go somewhere kind of public and neutral, or maybe the park or wherever, and tell your partner, I want to talk to you about our love life. I want to talk about sex.
Yeah.
I know this has been a difficult subject, but I want to go there. And first, if you're the initiating party for that conversation, decide what you want. Mm. Decide one thing you want out of this conversation and make it a very contained conversation.
Yeah. I think you want to avoid what we were talking about before, those blaming statements.
Yes.
You don't want to blame your partner. You want to see this as an us issue rather than a you issue, right?
Yes.
That we're on the same team and want the same things. And when you ascribe to your partner that they want sex like you want sex, that you both want a healthy, sexual, vibrant relationship, then it's more likely that you're going to be heard, right?
Yeah, or maybe ascribing that you both have a goal of intimacy.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I think for some partners, sex is that primary avenue, and for other partners, maybe talking or spending time together, you know, or something else. But say, look, I know we both have a goal of intimacy and connection. And then the next thing is you have to talk about what you want. Short-lived, you know, like one sentence.
Yeah.
So I really want to make love twice a week. This, I think, is what would make me feel content and happy. So really lay it down, you know, in a small prescribed way, rather than saying, you know, why don't you want to make love very much?
Oh, yeah. That question's a killer. Yeah.
That's a killer.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And I think what you're talking about is making requests or called them bids before.
Yeah.
And talked about
the them. The Gottmans called them bids.
Yeah, yeah. And talked about them in those ways. And that's the vulnerability part, right? Because you've got to be, if you're not risking something, right, in that conversation, then you're probably not being vulnerable, right? And so that's the difficult thing. And I think that's where a lot of those statements that we were talking about come from, of just being real defensive and real, like, not risking a lot. It's not a risk to talk about size or to talk about the ways that you're unsatisfied, right, as opposed
to... That's just anger and throwing mud. And a poor beginning to a conversation that might change your sex life. Yeah. Well, listen, I think this has been great.
Yeah.
Seven things not to say when you're going to talk about sex.
And don't say those things.
Don't say those things.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for listening to us. This is 4Play Radio Sex Therapy with sex therapist Lori Watson and couples therapist Dr. Adam Matthews. Hey, help us stay on top here at 4Play. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take one sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.